This is Ashley Hodge. I'm here with Grayson Grunhafer, and we're at on Sikkim 365 podcast, and we're coming to you after a 70-63 hard-fought loss to Kansas State. This was a game that was for first place in the Big 12. Baylor battled, and they were shorthanded. We learned before the game that Mekhi Mason was a no-go, King McClure was a no-go, and then you add to that, of course, Tristan Clark, their star center, who's been out with a knee injury since the start of Big 12 play, basically, and then also Jake Lindsey. So you're down your four really experienced players, you know, coming into the season. That's tough. And, you know, the Bears just showed a lot of heart. Grayson, what are your thoughts on this game?
So I want to start off with kind of just what you kind of led into right there. If Baylor has King and Mekhi, they win this game. So I'm going to start right there. They win this game if those two play. A big part and a big factor in this game, if you go look at it, was the last 4 minutes of the entire game, and then the last, I believe it was 2 minutes of the first half as well. And when you're closing out quarters and closing out halves like that, a lot of it comes down to experience. And, you know, Kansas State has a bunch of seniors on their team, a bunch of leaders, a bunch of guys that have been there before, and Baylor has literally no one that has been there before on this lineup as far as scores go. And it showed. And the experience showed late in both halves, and it really, in my opinion, was the difference in this game.
Yeah, I can't agree more with that. The execution by Kansas State down the stretch was supreme. And obviously, you know, Baylor left some opportunities on the table. The thing that really sticks out in my mind, and I hate to mention this because he played such a spectacular game other than these free throw attempts, but Freddie Gillespie had two opportunities down the stretch at the free throw line, and he missed the front end of a 1-1 each time. And so that's like a turnover, you know, so that's tough to overcome when you're playing a really good team in a you know, a game where you're just not going to have a lot of possessions and a lot of opportunities to make up for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And those were killers. As you said, it's basically a turnover. And then you would go to the other end and you had, you know, Barry Brown hitting, you know, one of the biggest shots, probably the biggest shot of the game. Then you got a guy like, you know, Cartier Jada that made that unbelievable play and really the play of the game when he saved the ball and, yeah, you know, was smart enough to throw it over Kegler's head,
right,
to Brown for the layup. And those two plays stick out. And then, of course, you know, having Kamau Stokes have 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists, that guy was really the difference in this game. His ability to make shots, especially shots that were tough. I mean, deep behind the three-point line, just making shots and just being that steady hand for Kansas State, even when they went through a little scoring drought. He really had a phenomenal game. And it's just that same thing. It's that experience. You know, Stokes has been around for a long time, at least feels like a long time now. And he's been in big games before, and he's killed Baylor numerous times.
Yeah, I mean, this team, these guards for Kansas State have had a lot of success against Baylor. I think this is 5 in a row against the Bears. You know, like you said, I'd love to see what we could do against them at full strength. If you had Mekhi and King, whether it's in Waco or whether it's in Manhattan, I like our chances. You know, they're a great team, and they shot the ball well enough from three-point range. They shot the ball really well from the free throw line, and that's kind of been their Achilles heel this year. They were 15 for 17 from the free throw line. And once again, you know, Baylor takes less free throw attempts on their home court than their opposition. You know, I'm not one to really harp on officiating, and I know Ray Natilli's officiated a lot of games in Waco and in games that Baylor's been involved in. I think he's only officiated 4 this year, and the big ones have been the Oregon game. I think he did the Kansas game at home in Waco, and then he did the Kansas State game tonight. He was terrible. I mean, there were several calls that he made that were just baffling. And, you know, I mean, that's he's kind of known as a home court ref. And I would say, you know, we would not want to see him in Waco anytime soon with the kind of whistle he gave Baylor tonight. I mean, there were probably three or four calls that were pretty obvious they would go in Baylor's favor, and he whistled them the other direction.
Yeah, and that's tough to overcome. And one thing I do want to point out is, you know, on Wednesday when we talked about the Texas versus Baylor game, we talked about how the Texas guards did a great job of being, you know, very in attack mode from the get-go, trying right. to get in the lane, and they were getting a lot of foul calls, you know, partly because you're at home and partly because they were playing so tough and so physical. Well, the issue is Baylor comes back home and really comes out trying to do the same thing that Texas did to them.
Right.
At least I felt that way.
For sure.
And they weren't getting those calls. They weren't getting the same calls on their home court. I felt like Jared Butler was doing everything he could to get in the lane early in the game. And once again, the fouls weren't coming, and it really forced Baylor to have to shoot a lot of, I don't want to say questionable shots, but I felt like they could have had better shots at times, and they settled some. And I think that's a part of the reason. And you brought up Kansas State shooting 15 of 17 from the free throw line. That's 88%. And on the year, they're, I believe, 64%
right.
Free shooting team. So that didn't help matters either.
Right. And, you know, let's – Kansas State is a terrific defensive team. They're going to be one of the better teams that Baylor faces defensively all year long, maybe the best. You know, the thing that was impressive is that Baylor, they only shot the ball 6 for 24 from three-point range, but they were really able to get a lot in the paint. Devontae Bandu was 5 for 7, you know, inside the three-point line. Mark Vidal was 3 for 4. Freddie Gillespie was 6 for 7. Mario Kegler was 2 for 5. You know, they shot the ball at 59% inside the three-point line, and a lot of those attempts were, you know, at the rim. They were very aggressive. And usually when you see that kind of efficiency on your home court, you get rewarded by, you know, foul shot attempts. But that certainly wasn't the case tonight. You know, again, like you said, 17 to 11 was the discrepancy. And it was, you know, Baylor played zone the whole game. So when you play zone, typically you don't get as many foul shot attempts. You don't give up as many foul shot attempts because there's just not as many one-on-one opportunities to get that bump or, you know, to get a team into foul trouble. You know, but, you know, Stokes got to the line 7 times. I think the one play that really bothered me the most was in the first half, Devontae Bandu shot a baseline shot at the end of the shot clock. He kicked his leg out, and he was called for an offensive foul. And then, you know, you turn around in the second half, and Stokes, when they're down, I believe, maybe 6 points, he shoots a 3 from the corner. Mark Vidal doesn't even touch him. He throws his hands, you know, and distorts his hands to make it look like he's drawing contact, and he kicks his leg out. And I believe it was Ray Natilli, that gave him, you know, three shots on that play. And that was really a tough call. You know, he did make all 3 free throws. And I thought that swung the momentum quite a bit because at about the 10-minute mark, Baylor was up 6, and Kansas State ended up outscoring Baylor 29-16 in the last 10 minutes of the game. You know, so that was really the difference, their execution down the stretch and Baylor's inability to get points when they really needed them.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention one thing on that Bandu shot. If you go watch Bandu every single time, because he's kind of, if you watch him on inbounds plays and even when he, you know, goes right to shoot a jump shot, that's his normal jump shot.
Right.
I mean, his legs do come out some when he shoots the ball. And, I mean, I'm down on the floor, so I've seen it every game. It's his normal shot. And so for them to call that, that was just a bad call.
Right.
I mean, there's really no other way to put it. I mean, for someone to call a kick, he better be sticking his leg almost, 90 degrees out.
Right.
You know, trying to get contact, and that wasn't the case. So I agree. That was really tough. And those three free throws for Stokes were huge. I believe Baylor was up 4 at that point. And so, you know, you allowed them to get right back in. And that's what it felt like for a lot of this game. Baylor would build up, you know, a 4-point lead, maybe a 5-point lead, maybe a 6-point lead. And then Kansas State would tie it up again. Then Baylor would get a little bit of a lead again, and K-State would come right back. And Baylor just could never create separation. And then, as you mentioned, you know, the last 10 minutes, and in particular the last 4 minutes, I mean, it was just all Kansas State and their experience. And, you know, it showed. But I do want to give a couple shout-outs in this game. One in particular, a guy that really stood out to me, is the guy that we just talked about. Devonte Bandu had, in my opinion, his best game of the year. And he wasn't the most efficient he has been. He wasn't amazing from three, but he made so many hustle plays in this game, and he, of course, was the leading scorer for Baylor in this game as well. And so I felt like he really, really played well, and I was impressed with him. And I'm seeing more and more that he's going to be a factor on next year's team, even if he's not a starter. He just is a very good basketball player that just keeps getting better and better, and I was really impressed with him. Then the other guy you mentioned, Freddie Gillespie, really a great game. 6 of 7, super efficient. He had 2 blocks, really. He and Flo Tombo were great protecting the rim all night. Even Mark Vidal had 3 blocks as well, and they really clogged the lane up and made things difficult. So those two guys really stood out to me as having, you know, really good games that maybe we haven't seen this year before, and in this one they played great.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie also 9 rebounds. I think Freddie, this experience is going to be invaluable, not only for this year. You know, I think Baylor still has a great opportunity. You know, hopefully it's not a complete mash unit. We can get some of these guys back, like King and Makai, before the season's over, and hopefully, you know, sooner rather than later. But they have a great opportunity to make the NCAA tournament this year. And that would be a tremendous accomplishment, given all the injuries, given expectations before the first of the year, given all the new faces and new players that the program has. But really, the dividends that this kind of experience is going to pay for next season is just, you know, you can't put any kind of value on it, because, you know, Bandu having these, you know, game experiences against great competition, and where, you know, more pressure is put on him because of the injuries to Makai and the injury to King. And then, of course, Freddie, you know, with Tristan going down, Freddie is a guy you can win a championship with. I mean, that guy is going to be a huge piece of Baylor's success next year. I mean, he's shown that he is a quality Big 12 player. On the way back to DFW, I was listening to Bruce Weber's post game, and he really called out Freddie Gillespie and just said, that guy's good. I mean, you know, that's basically what he said, is, you know, this guy is a good player, and, you know, he's, I mean, he had a lot of praise for him, and he had a lot of praise for how hard Baylor played and how tough Baylor was. And, you know, Jared Butler, this experience of having to be the main guy, the main distributor, the main ball handler against probably the best defensive backcourt in the country, I mean, that's going to pay huge dividends at some point in the future, you know, hopefully this year, but certainly next year. And then, of course, Mark Vidal and Mario Kegler and Matthew Meyer, I mean, they're all getting really crucial experience, you know, in Flo Thamba against quality competition that's going to really help this team in the future.
Yeah, I agree. Lots of experience being gained and learned. And I just really hope that this team can get, you know, relatively healthy. And that means, you know, Mason and McClure being able to come back, because I really do think if they could get into the tournament, I think they could beat someone. I really do. I think this is a very solid team, maybe definitely an underrated team, but I just see when they're fully healthy, I just think they are a really, really good team with a lot of guys that just play so hard. And that matters. That flat out matters. And Bruce Weber commented on it in the post game, just saying he knew how hard Baylor was going to play. This is one of the hardest playing teams in the country, and he really had high praises for Baylor. And I think he knows that his team was very lucky that King McClure and Mekhi Mason didn't play today.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I think as you look at the rest of the Big 12 and what happened today, of course, the big shocker was TCU going into Iowa State and winning that game. You know, everybody had kind of dubbed, I think KenPom before the game started today, had said that Iowa State had the best chance to win the conference. And then they go and lose a home game to TCU, a team that Baylor beat by, you know, 26 points last Saturday. So I think that just goes to show you that a lot of crazy things can happen down the stretch here. You know, KenPom now has six teams in the Big 12 projected with 10 wins or more in conference. And those six teams are Texas, Baylor, Kansas, Iowa State, Texas Tech, and Kansas State. So there's a lot of crazy twists and turns that can happen down the stretch with this conference race. And, you know, certainly when you look at Baylor's remaining games, you would say, well, you know, Baylor needs to win all their home games. Oklahoma and West Virginia and Texas and Oklahoma State. And then you look at the road games and you go, man, those are tough. You know, Baylor's probably not going to be able to pull any of those out. But then, you know, you have to come to the realization that crazy things happen in college basketball, just like Iowa State losing to TCU today. So if Baylor can steal one of those on the road, you know, they can still get to 10 or 11 wins in conference, and they have some margin of error to drop a home game if that happens. You know, hopefully it doesn't happen, but, you know, lots of exciting basketball left.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Baylor wins their home games, I believe they're in the tournament.
Yep.
So, period. I think they're in if they win all their home games, and that starts on Monday with a game against Oklahoma, and I firmly believe that's a must-win game. I think Baylor flat-out should win that game. Oklahoma is trending in the wrong direction, and it's at home for Baylor. And Baylor's played well at home, and if they can get healthy, even if they can't get healthy, I think they should beat Oklahoma on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma is a team that in some ways mimics Kansas State. Their offense is struggling. Kansas State's offense has been much better lately. And like you said, Oklahoma's offense has been rough. You know, they only scored 54 points at home today against Texas Tech. And then, of course, they only scored 47 against Baylor not too long ago. But their defense is solid. They're going to be tough to get easy points against. But, you know, if Baylor plays with the kind of effort they played with tonight against Kansas State, they should beat Oklahoma on Monday. But Baylor, you know, we need a big crowd there. And I know it's a Monday night game at 8 o'clock. If you're in Waco or even if you're out of town, I would just strongly urge you to consider coming to Waco, because that really is almost like an NCAA play-in game. If Baylor wins that, you know, especially when they may not have Mekhi Mason and King McClure, we don't know. You know, we don't know if they're going to be down a couple guys again. That could really give this team an emotional lift, and this team just deserves support. I mean, they're just playing their hearts out, and, you know, any fans that can get to the Farrell Center on Monday night and support this team, I think it would mean a lot to them and could be the emotional lift they need to get that W.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to point out, because we keep saying they're such a hard, you know, they played so hard. You know, I honestly think, you know, I've been a Baylor fan since, you know, I went to school at Baylor in 2012. I honestly think this is the hardest playing team that Scott Drew has had in my time watching Baylor basketball play. They're relentless. And I mean, watching Mark Vidal just run up and down the floor full speed for, you know, 30 minutes or however long he's out there is just crazy to watch. And they all mimic that same attitude. You know, seeing Bandu, who hasn't played, you know, more than probably 25 minutes in game this year, have to play the most minutes on the team. and mentioning in the post game how he was winded. I mean, he flat out said he was winded in this game. Just seeing their effort, it's just really cool to see it. I just wanted to say, you know, when I say hardworking, I seriously mean the most hardworking team I've seen in, you know, 7 years of watching Baylor basketball.
Yeah, and you know, even though Baylor lost tonight, I think one of the plays that really epitomizes what you just said is when Mark Vidal made a tremendous block on one end of the floor, gathered the loose ball, drove the length of the court, and then dunked it on the other end. That's got to be a SportsCenter top 10 play. I mean, that was just tremendous. And just showed, I mean, just really summarized his game in one play, you know, where he affects things on the defensive end, and then he also affects things on the offensive end with his hustle.
Yeah, and then he said he wasn't done yet because Cartier-Jada had a kind of a breakaway and managed to get around Jared Butler and had a layup in the second half.
Yeah.
And Mark Vidal, running from the three-point line, just charges in. Well, he was really running from the other end of the court because it was basically a fast break. And, I mean, he just volleyball slammed the ball off the backboard.
Right.
Tremendous. It's the same thing. Just seeing that kind of heart from this team, it's really, really fun to watch, honestly.
No doubt. You know, I mean, this team, do you think this comparison is an apt comparison? Can you see this team next year, knowing that we've got some terrific pieces coming, and obviously Macy Oteague and Davion Mitchell, but then possibly, you know, Jordan Turner. I mean, he looks great. I was talking to I haven't verified this, but one of my friends, Tough Bear, was saying that he's now rated as a top 100 player in the nation. I mean, you know, that he's trending in a great direction and had a phenomenal game against on national television against Vernon Carey in the university school, and then you also have, you know, possibility of Omar Ballo, a five-star big that would join this front line. I really think, you know, this team would remind me a lot of Tennessee. The way Tennessee is playing this year reminds me of what Baylor can be next year, where you have these, you know, thick body guys like Mark Vidal and Mario Kegler that are just, you know, they're just dudes, you know, kind of like Tennessee has. And then you have really skilled guards, and it's just a, you know, terrific basketball team that has the ability to go to, you know, go into any court, any place and get victories. I'm really excited about next year. I'm obviously excited about how the season will, you know, finish out this year as well. But I love watching the process. I love watching Jared Butler, Matthew Meyer, Freddie Gillespie, Devontae Bandu, you know, and watching them get better, knowing what could be, you know, in 2019, 2020.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. I think it might be, I guess, you know, the mindset and the travel and things like that. I think it might be the opposite, though, for Baylor next year compared to Tennessee this year, because I actually think, you know, Tennessee relies a lot on their big guys. I think Baylor's going to rely a lot on their guards. I just think their guards are going to dominate games, and then you're going to have Vidal and Kegler as, you know, guys that, you know, rebound and get up and down the floor and, you know, do what they do now. But I just feel like this team is going to be, you know, scoring the ball from the perimeter a ton. And I know those Tennessee guys can shoot a little, but, you know, Grant Williams likes being on the block a little bit. And then Schofield, he's the one that kind of goes around and starts shooting threes.
Right.
And things like that. But I agree 100% with you on the fact that next year's team is going to be a team that has the same mindset as this Tennessee team, where they're just like, anywhere we go, we think we're going to win.
Right.
And that's just period. And having that mindset, and I think they have that mindset this year. I mean, I just think that they truly feel like they should win every game and they should be in every single game. And I just wish they could get healthy so that at least we can see this team late in the year at full strength and see, you know, why this 6-win run happened. You know, see why that did happen and see if they can't carry it into the tournament, because we could see something special. And I don't think that's too much of a stretch if they're able to get into the tournament. I do think that they could pull off an upset or two.
Yeah, I agree. And, hey, listen, it was a great day today. We got to meet with the good folks at Brazos Parking, and we got to plan out our tailgate plans for the 2019 football season. I mean, what an exciting football season we got coming up. We've got 7 home games, and if you have not made tailgate plans, you need to just plan on tailgating at Brazos Parking, buying the full tailgate package. We'll have some deal where you can buy parking and get food at a very discounted rate for all 7 home games. And Brazos Parking, you know, for a parking spot, I think it's $400 for the year. I think we'll probably add $100, you know, for the food cost. So $500 will get you 7 home games, parking, food. And, you know, we have tremendous sponsors that sponsor our tailgate. Barnett's is the restaurant that does a great job. And then we have free adult beverages and, you know, free water and also cola, you know, products, you know. So just come join us for tailgating. We want to put a plug in for that. We're also going to do a tailgate for the spring game, which is April 13th. So go ahead and put that on your calendar because we'd love to see you out there for that as well. And I found out, Grayson, that your blue blood favorite team is Duke. And I noticed that Duke beat Virginia today.
Did you see that? And they also got Coach K started getting questions about a sexual assault allegation in 1999. So
that should
be interesting.
Against him?
Huh?
The sexual assault accusation was against him?
No, against one of his former players.
Oh, I gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
He was asked that today.
Interesting.
Yeah, so 20 years ago.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, that's the environment we're in right now. Well, you know, speaking of that, two coaches that are having all kinds of problems, Sean Miller. They had to fire another assistant this week. I believe that's the third staff member that he's had to let go for different improprieties and related, you know, somewhat related to this FBI investigation. But there's a lot of speculation that he will not be back in Arizona next season. So that would be a really big job that would come open. And he's got, you know, like a top 5 recruiting class in the country right now. So that's something that bears watching. And, you know, there's still lots of smoke that Bill Self has coached his last game at Kansas and in Waco. Let's say he's coached his last game at the Farrell Center. I'm still going to, you know, err on that the side of that belief. This season, you know, they won today against an Oklahoma State team that's, you know, probably with West Virginia, you know, probably going to finish 9th and 10th in the Big 12, West Virginia and Oklahoma State. But Gerald Vick has gone off the reservation. Who knows what's happening there? Had to go back to Memphis. Garrett's still injured. He's having to play a lot of freshmen. Somehow they keep getting it done in Allen Fieldhouse. I will make the comment that I find it interesting that there was a ref with the last name of Self officiating a game in Allen Fieldhouse today. And you can draw your own conclusions from that. But, you know, it's, you know, Kansas continues to win at home, and until somebody can go in there and beat them, they still have a really good shot to win this conference this year. But they've been terrible on the road, with their only game coming against Baylor right after Baylor got the news that Tristan Clark was out for the season and had to totally re-engineer the way they played. And it took them a couple games to really get things rolling. And then, of course, we've had this speed bump with the injuries. In the Texas game, we found out that King McClure had a knee injury in the Texas game, and it really affected his play in the Texas game, and that Makai Mason was playing on a bad foot in the Texas game. And then, of course, both of them couldn't play against Kansas State tonight. So that's kind of where we stand.
Right, yeah. It's the same thing we've been mentioning. Winning on your home court, and that's what Kansas continues to do. So they're going to continue to give themselves a shot to win this thing. I also wanted to bring up Marquette beat Villanova tonight, and Marcus Howard had 38 points on Villanova, and Marquette is rolling. I mean, they're a top 10 team right now.
Yeah, congrats to them. I mean, they've dropped 2 games to St. John's, but that was a really big win for them. And, you know, probably the only Duke assistant, former Duke assistant, former Duke point guard that is having success at the Division I level right now, because because the other five or six are, you know, kind of struggling. How did Bobby Hurley do? They end up winning that game against Washington.
I'll have to check that. Not sure who is he coach?
Arizona State. They dropped a game to Washington State that only had one win in the conference at the time. Now Washington State ended up blowing out Arizona at Arizona today. Let me see what happened in this.
Arizona could beat Washington by 12.
Ooh, that's a big win. That's Washington's. Yeah, that's Washington's first loss in conference, and
a strong conference of the Pac-12 that may only get one bid.
That's. I mean, but Arizona State now. Well, they were only 70. They were 70 in KenPom coming into this game. I don't know what they were in the net. But that was a absolute must win for them to beat Washington today. They still probably have a lot of work to do to get in the NCAA tournament, but they were, you know, that was a game they had to win, and you know, congratulations to them for getting that done.
Well, yeah, and then did you see what Gonzaga did to St. Mary's tonight?
Did they clobber them?
94-46.
That reminds me of what another team did to St. Mary's not too long ago.
Right? Yeah.
That's an unbelievable win. Gonzaga's obviously got it rolling. They could very well go into the tournament with just the two losses to Tennessee and North Carolina that happened in back-to-back games, and now they have one of their players that they were missing. I believe is he playing?
He may not. I don't know if he's. I think he's playing, but yeah, okay. He's good.
Well, I just checked the box score. It looks like he didn't play tonight. So, but they're really good. Yeah, that's a team that definitely could be a legit number one seed. They may not get there to the one line just because they did beat Duke, and that's going to go a long way on Selection Sunday. But after the Duke win, their best win was against Washington, and that was only by 2 points, and that was at home. You know, so other than the Duke win, they don't really have, you know, quality, you know, top 25 caliber wins that would probably warrant them being on the one line. But they're going to be tough. Nobody's going to want to face them in the tournament.
No one, and of course they're going to have their other issues. They're playing that conference, so we've seen it time and time again. That hurts them when it comes to tournament time. But yeah, lots of interesting games today. Lots of interesting results, and I think it's pretty safe to say some of the better teams are starting to pull away a little bit.
Yep.
At the very top of the rankings.
Well, Monday night, 8:00, Ferrell Center, Oklahoma, Hall of Fame coach Lon Kruger against future Hall of Fame coach Scott Drew. We need Baylor fans to show up and support the Bears because that's a big game. Baylor's probably going to be favored in this game. I don't think, from what I was told today, that we're going to be seeing King McClure, but hopefully Mekhi Mason will be back. But either way, it's you know, Baylor's going to bring the fight. Baylor's going to bring the intensity, and you're going to see tremendous effort from this team. So I hope there's lots of fans that come and support the Bears. And you've been listening to a Sic'em 365 podcast with Grayson Grunhafer, Sic'em Bears.